Good day, this is Health on the Hill. I'm Jackie Judd. This week, it's all about the money. So we'll be reviewing President Obama's budget proposal for 2012 and what it means for health care. At a news conference today, Mr. Obama said that while Medicare and Medicaid are left untouched in his budget, he hasn't given up on trying to rein in spending.
Medicare and Medicaid are huge problems because health care costs are rising even as the population's getting older. And so what I've said is, that I'm prepared to work with Democrats and Republicans to start dealing with that in a serious way. We made a down payment on that with health care reform last year. That's part of what health care reform was about.
And we will also get an update from our roundtable on the status of Republican efforts to strip funding from the health care reform law. Joining me today, as always, Mary Agnes Carey, senior correspondent for Kaiser Health News, and David Nather of Politico Pro. Welcome to you both.
Thank you. Thank you.
David, I want to start with you. What was the kind of overarching political statement that the president was making in this budget about his commitment to health care and the reform law?
Well, he was making it clear that he's not backing down an inch from his support for the law. You know, he came out in the State of the Union address and told Republicans, I'm willing to work with you to make this better. We can work on medical malpractice reform. We can work on tweaking the law around the edges, but I'm not going to back off of my support for the law. And the budget statement makes that very, very clear. Throughout the budget document, it says the health care reform law is deficit reduction because the Congressional Budget Office has said that overall it brings spending down because it increases spending in some areas, but then it decreases in others. So overall, it's deficit reduction. They're still trying to package it that way. That's a clear line of division between the president and the Republicans, who think that the law is going to spend more than is estimated, and in the end, it's not going to be deficit reduction at all.
Let's talk for a moment about what the president wants to spend in the Department of Health and Human Services, which, of course, administers the big health care programs. As we speak, there is a disagreement between HHS and the Office of Management and Budget about whether they got a bump in their budget, a bump down from the last enacted budget. What is your take?
Yeah, it's very funny and it's very complicated. It's clear that that the funding level they would get for 2012 is below what the president proposed in 2011. But, you know, that budget was never enacted. In fact, we're still working through the government's funding for 2011 right now. But if you compare it to 2010, the Office of Management and Budget said it's a slight increase over 2010. The way HHS counts the numbers, it's a slight decrease because they count it differently. So I guess it depends which one you want to pay attention to, but if you look at the official OMB budget documents, it's a very, very slight increase.
Okay, and some of the dollars are moved around. So, Mary Agnes, what programs at HHS get a little bump up?
Well, for example, spending on biomedical research, healthcare workforce, community health centers, how to train primary care physicians, NIH gets a little bit of a bump. Those things see an increase. The budget would stop for two more years any scheduled cuts in Medicare physician payments. The president wanted to make a strong statement with that. So there are some areas that get some increases and some get some decreases.
And what you just mentioned, we call inside the Beltway the doc fix.
That's right.
Who are the winners and losers in his proposal? Who objects? Who supports it?
Well, physicians, of course, like the idea very, very much.
The American Medical Association.
American Medical Association, other specialty groups have long found a lot of problems with how Medicare pays physicians, and they want that fixed. But, of course, if you're going to fix physician payments, you've got to go after it another way, to pay for it, rather. There'll be efforts to trim waste, fraud, and abuse. Some people who are on the receiving end of that may feel that it's overreaching.
This is to make it deficit neutral.
Exactly, to pay for the financing for the doc fix. Mm-hmm. There also would be a change in how states can tax providers to, which impacts their Medicaid reimbursements. Some Medicaid directors may not like those changes, but it's very typical in Washington. Some get some things and some things are taken away from others.
Okay, let's move on to the Republicans' efforts to defund the health care reform law. As I read it, David, it is a tangled legislative process at the moment. Can you untangle it for us?
Well, sure try. So the temporary spending bill is on the House floor this week to fund the government for the rest of the year. And there were a number of Republicans who wanted to use that as a vehicle to withhold funding for the entire law. Now, Steve King of Iowa is one of those. He wanted to offer an amendment to defund the entire law. Looks like he did not get sort of rules protection to do that from the House Rules Committee. So he may still offer that amendment, but when he does, it will probably be ruled out of order because it tries to touch too many things in an appropriations bill. To really get at all of the different sources of funding, it sounds like there are some that appropriators can touch and some that they can't because some of the funding is automatic and mandatory. So it would have to be other committees that would have to actually write legislation to stop that from happening. Now, what is going to happen is there are a number of amendments to just defund parts of the law. Like there are three different Republicans who want to defund the individual mandate, which is the new requirement that everybody has to have health insurance. Not clear yet which one is going to get to offer theirs because they're like three different versions of the same thing. But it looks like there will be a few of those targeted sort of efforts. Also, one very possibly to defund the Center for Consumer Information and Insurance Oversight.
Do you get a sense that Republicans are frustrated? Are they surprised by how difficult this process has become even before they get to a floor vote?
Yeah, I think they're very frustrated. I talked last week to Denny Rehberg of Montana, who was another one of the Republicans who wanted to defund the whole thing. And he said, you know, I'm really having trouble writing this in a way that would capture everything. I'm having trouble getting sort of permission from the appropriators. They're telling me that if you want to defund certain things, you can't do that. It has to go through the committees that actually write legislation. So in the end, it looks like he's not going to offer that at all. And Steve King is running into the same trouble. And it's going to be very hard to explain to the Republican base and to some of the Tea Party supporters who really want the entire law stopped why they can't just do that on the first round.
Okay. And a final quick question to you, Mary Agnes. Bring us up to date on the status of the 1099 repeal. That is the provision in the reform law that requires even small businesses to file with the IRS any transaction with a vendor of $600 or more.
That's right. The House Ways and Means Committee is going to have a markup this week on that legislation. They expect it to continue the committee work to be done by the beginning of March in the House, and that I expect it to go to the floor. As we know, the Senate has already passed a 1099 repeal. Lots of people dislike this provision, Republicans, Democrats,
the president,
exactly, small business. So I think you could see quick action on that.
Okay. Thank you both so much. As I said, it was about the money today.
You bet.
Thank you.
Care. Thank you.